we prepare to hear God's word, let's spend a moment in prayer. God, we pray on this day that you would give us eyes to see, ears to hear, minds to understand, and most importantly, God, we pray for our hearts, that they would be receptive to your words. May you find good soil today as we learn more, Jesus, from you and your greatest sermon, the greatest sermon ever given. May then the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. If you were to think of a modern-day saint, perhaps there is none greater in our day and age and context than Mother Teresa. Would you agree? She's pretty saintly. She did some awesome work. And yet, the Catholic Church has denied making her an official saint of the church. Do you know why? It's because Mother Teresa struggled, and she wrote about it. In a book called Come Be My Light, that's, if you want to write that down, I would encourage you to read that. Mother Teresa talks about her work in Calcutta, and there are times where she shares her heart quite intimately. She says things like, this is difficult. She shares things like, I'm depressed and I'm struggling today. She says things like, God, I don't even know why you called me to this work in ministry. And you see, the church really doesn't know what to do with that. I think a lot of times churches elevate those who are in positions of leadership, missionaries or pastors or others, to a place that they think, well, they're perfect. They're so close to God, they don't struggle. But I'm here to tell you, we do struggle. We struggle with the same very things that you struggle with. And we struggle with them sometimes more mightily than you struggle with them. And I've got to be honest today, I was in my office this morning and praying and preparing, and Pastor Corey came in as he normally does, and there was some stuff happening in my life, and I thought, ah, man, the last thing I want to do today is preach the Word of God. How does that make you feel? There's no desire in me this morning to be up in front of you. My heart is desiring something else, desiring to just climb back in bed, throw the covers over my head, and hide from the world and the things that are going on in it. Do you ever feel that way? That evidences a heart that's mixed, a heart that isn't quite pure. As Val Silva prayed for this for me this morning, she prayed that God would release me into joy from this place of despair. Today, Jesus is going to talk about adultery in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 27. And adultery, quite broadly defined, is unfaithfulness, especially to God and to others. Jesus says to the disciples in verse 27, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. This is the thesis. This has been the teaching since the word was given to Moses on the Ten Commandments, recorded way back in Exodus chapter 20 and Deuteronomy chapter 5. This word for adultery, moicheuo, literally means a sexual encounter or relationship with someone other than one's spouse. And this was taken very seriously. Today, we don't really take adultery or many other things, sins, very seriously at all. But the law required, if a man is found sleeping with another man's wife, both the man who slept with her and the woman must die. That's pretty serious, right? When you think about it. And then if a man happens to meet in a town a virgin pledged to be married and he sleeps with her, you shall take both of them to the gate of that town and stone them to death. That's pretty serious. That's a hard stance on sin. Why? Again, the scripture text tells us you must purge the evil from among you. These are the people of God. And God can do his work in his will and his people when they are faithful and obedient. But when they are an adulterous generation, when they are an adulterous people, God's work is minimized. And so Jesus is going to reinterpret, go deeper. We find Jesus, as he goes deeper, he sets the bar higher for us in our conduct, in our actions, in our attitudes, and most especially in the desires of our hearts. We're talking about heart conditions. This is what the Sermon on the Mount is about. Remember the Beatitudes? Blessed are the pure in heart. They're not distracted. They're not dissuaded. They don't find themselves mixed up in other desires and lusts and wants. Jesus replaces adultery here with lust. Just like last week, Jesus replaced murder with our attitudes or our hearts to murder. Lust is that sexual desire or that want that transcends all others. It's to have a desire for what is forbidden, to nurture a burning desire for another in one's heart. And what's the problem with this? It's threefold. Just to keep you paying attention, I put 2 points on the blue slip, but I really have three. Surprise. Surprise, and you're welcome. You know, sometimes Corey and I get our blue sheets done by Thursday, typically, and sometimes things change between Thursday and Sunday. There are covenants broken, three of them here. The first is the covenant of marriage. Boy, we've watered down marriage today, haven't we? Really means nothing. But in the heart of the Christian and in the church, we still hold marriage at very high esteem. And God expects us to be pure in our marriages. But when we commit adultery, we also break a covenant of faithfulness to God. When I stood almost 25 years ago before God and his people with my spouse, Jeanette, and said, I will love you, come what may. I was covenanting to her, but also before God and his people. The third covenant that we break is the covenant of relationship in community. That's really important in the body of Christ. Twice in Deuteronomy chapter 22, as I read it, the author says, you must purge evil from Israel, and you must purge evil from among you. If there's impurity, if there's sin and brokenness and hurt, we are to, in the church, purge that out of us. You've heard one bad apple spoils the whole barrel or the whole cart. It's true. Adultery is a poison to the church. And I don't mean just sexual lust or desire, but I mean unfaithfulness anywhere and disobedience, and so does Jesus. And so Jesus is really holding before us a truth. If there's someone in the church that's being unfaithful to their spouse, deal with it. Now, does that mean we kill? Of course not. Things have changed. What does God see in us as we live our lives? faithfully to Him. God encourages us to do three things when it comes to disobedience or unfaithfulness. First, in Proverbs chapter 4, the writer writes, "My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body." And listen to this. "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." If our hearts are not pure, our lives are not pure. If our hearts are not right, our lives are not right, because everything flows out of our hearts. Jesus once said, "You can tell a tree by its fruit." He's getting to the heart of the issue here. Jesus is saying, a fig tree, produces what kind of fruit? Figs. It's pretty simple. And so the heart of the fig tree will produce figs. But if our hearts are producing something else than what looks like Christ-likeness, well then, we are not guarding our hearts. The psalmist writes, "How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word." And so we guard our hearts. How? We guard our hearts by prayer. We enter into prayer and we pray God's words for us. "Create in me," says the psalmist, "a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." This is the work and power of the Holy Spirit within us. This is the power and the might of the Almighty God through Christ in us. We also guard our hearts by practicing the presence of Christ. You know, we look at people differently when we put on the glasses of Jesus. That's one of my prayers regularly. God, give me your eyes that I might see your people as you see them. God sees us differently than we see ourselves. God sees us through the lens of grace, through the lens of mercy, through the lens of forgiveness. God sees us through the lens of the death of Jesus and his resurrection. So Jesus says, you commit adultery when you lust, when you have a desire for something else, a deep want for something other than God. Whatever that may be, maybe it's stuff, maybe it's money, maybe it's possessions, maybe it's a job that we don't have that we truly desire, maybe it's a peace that we're just not finding in our lives. And so we commit to God our hearts. God, I give you my heart, guard it. Number two, we begin to live the kingdom way, this new way, when we take sin seriously. Did you hear what Jesus said? If your eye causes you to stumble, or if your hand causes you to stumble, what are you to do? Gouge out your eye and cut off your hand. Now listen, we'd all be blind and handless if we did this every time. But what is Jesus getting at here? He's saying, take sin seriously. Don't just push it off. Don't just put it to the side. Certainly don't justify sin, but deal with it. Bring it before the Lord. Commit it to God. Own up to it. So many times today, people just don't own up to their sin. They want to rebuke it and put it to the side. They want to pretend it's not there. And so they don't do the hard work of confession. They don't do the difficult work of reconciling to God and to his people. But if we're Jesus followers, truly, we're going to take sin seriously. And not the sin of others, by the way. Remember Jesus talked about the log that's in our own eye that must be removed before we remove the speck out of someone else's eye. This is taking our own sin seriously. You know, at all three services, in the beginning of our worship, we have a time of confession. It's both personal and individual in our time of silence, and then it's corporate as we pray together that corporate prayer of confession. And then we're reminded of forgiveness, that blessing of absolution, that God has taken away our sins. God wants us to be right before Him and to honestly own up to our insecurities, our struggles, our transgressions. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, as it was read for us, Paul says, "Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside of the body. But whoever sins sexually sins against their own body." You remember what when God instituted marriage way back in Genesis? Remember what happens when a man comes together with a woman? They become one. You're with me? Right? They become one flesh. And it's more than just the physical flesh. It's the flesh of life. And so that's why Paul can say in verse 19, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." What was that price? It was the price of God's one and very only Son to death. Death on the cross. If Jesus took our sin seriously enough to die for it, should we not also take our sin seriously enough to repent of it? I think so. And then lastly, this is difficult, right? This is hard. Lastly, we repent of our sin and we receive God's forgiveness. So how do we deal with adultery? How do we live this new way, the kingdom way? We guard our hearts. We take sin seriously. We stop glossing over it. And number three, we repent and receive. "Or do you not know," says Paul, "that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither sexual immorality, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." And that is what some of you were. You hear the verb there? Were. What tense is that verb in? Past tense. Past tense. We miss the real point of this text if we don't listen to the tense of the verbs. You were. But you were, verse 11, washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. Friends, this is why we repent. This is why we take our transgressions before God every week, every service, so that God might deal with them in a way that He has prescribed from the beginning of time through the person and work of Jesus Christ. Repent and receive forgiveness. Paul says that we were old in our nature, but we are made new through the person and work of Christ. And so the old has what? Passed away. It's gone. Literally, that word means it is dead. In our baptisms, we celebrate that we die to our sin and we rise to new life in Christ. We are new creations through the person and work of Christ. And so when it comes to any sin, we need to remember, we repent and receive the grace of God. The psalmist wrote it this way. This, by the way, this Psalm 51 was written by David. Do you remember any of the stories of David? Was David an adulterer? Yes, he was. Yes, he was. And so this now is David after his affair with Bathsheba. He writes, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions." What's David doing here? He's repenting. He's throwing himself at the feet of Christ. Now, in that day, it was the foot of God, but Christ's efficacy of the cross, the effectiveness of the cross, also was for David. So David falls down. He doesn't exonerate himself. He could. He's the king. He doesn't justify his sin and say, minor mistake. But he falls down before God. God, have mercy on me. According to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my sins, take away my transgressions. In verse 2, he says, "Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Create in me a pure heart, a clean heart, a heart that's changed, a new heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." What'd you think we were going to do when we started to preach the Sermon on the Mount? We were going to go deeper in Christ as he set the bar higher for us. So friends, receive today this message of grace to us. This message of love to us. This reminder that our relationships matter. That our attitudes and our actions matter. And most of all, the condition of our heart matters to God. So guard it. Guard your heart. Take sin seriously. Repent of it. And receive the grace of God. Amen. Please stand now.